Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Queen Elizabeth's resting place has been revealed as the prince and princess visit Wales for the first time with their new titles.
It's such a beautiful, it's a really tiny little chapel too. If you've ever been to St. George's, it's like this really tiny chapel sort of tucked away. And I think it's probably, they must be so happy with this choice that they can all be together in this little corner of a place that was so special to them.
A bombshell book claims that Prince Harry told King Charles that he was unhappy with royal life via email and was denied a meeting with the Queen.
Harry tried to speak to the Queen but was intervened. And this is another story where it's coming back. We're hearing more details, you know, that he's tried to schedule this. They've said, you know, he's been told no, you know, she's not available anymore. So it'll be interesting to see these stories sort of in this book in print expanded on with as many details as Valentine Lowe, you know, has.
Plus, what do the next few weeks look like for King Charles now that the mourning period has come to an end?
I think he also is hoping to spend some time with his family. I mean, he has seen obviously a lot of them, but grief is a time when you do need to see people. He has made it very clear that he trusts Prince William and Princess Catherine implicitly. So I expect we'll see some time spent with them.
We've got that plus so much more in today's Royally Us. Hello to our fellow royal lovers and welcome to Royally Us. I'm Christina. That's Christine. Christine, I can't believe it's been a little over a week since we covered the Queen's funeral. And now we're getting a first look at her resting place.
I know it's just, but someone I saw on Twitter, someone saying that it's been almost 3 weeks since she's died. And I just can't believe that. But we did see her final resting place. And I'm excited to get into that later.
Yeah, definitely. Before we do get into it, let's see what you guys had to say about last week's show. A lot of people obviously expressing their condolences and their remembrances about the Queen. S. Fitzpatrick said the pony, the corgis, and the lone bagpiper slowly walking away was what moved me to tears. I think a lot of people, I know you said the bagpiper as well.
I think they forgot me.
I think that got a lot of people. It definitely did. But so many moving moments. And then Joan Neal says, Charlotte and George will remember their grandmother's funeral all their lives. It's wonderful that they share the jubilee with their grandmother. That was fun, which hopefully will offset the sadness of the funeral. Yeah, spending that time with their great-grandmother had to be amazing because not a lot of kids get to spend that much time with their great-grandparents.
I know it must have been so, so special. And just to, I think, again, there was a lot of people questioning, you know, should George and Charlotte be there? I mean, Charlotte's still so young, but actually I think it's a good point that they'll always remember this. This will kind of always be part of their story. So I think it was really important. And I wasn't sure at first either, but now that I've seen everything that's on, you know, happen, I think it was the right choice.
Definitely. All right. Well, let's get into our royal roundup. And like we were saying, the mourning period has come to an end and Buckingham Palace shared a photo of the Queen's final resting place. Now, this stone is made of a Belgian black marble with brass letter inlays to match the previous ledger. And it now sits within St. George's Chapel in Windsor. And the ledger stones now includes the dates of birth of her father, her mother, and of course, her husband, Prince Philip, who died at the age of 99 in April of 2021. I mean, it looks like a beautiful resting place. It really does.
It's such a beautiful, it's a really tiny little chapel too. If you've ever been to St. George's, it's like this really tiny chapel sort of tucked away. And I think it's probably, they must be so happy with this choice that they can all be together in this little corner of a place that was so special to them. I also loved in the photo that was shared by the royal family that it was just full of wreaths from family members. And I was sort of looking at it, wondering who sent which wreath and did they coordinate, you know, did someone say, okay, let's all do this color, you know, that sort of thing. But it is so special. I know so many people will hope to visit because it is open to the public. You can see the little chapel where they are resting.
Definitely a beautiful place to be laid to rest. It definitely was. Well, King Charles went straight to work following his mother's death. A photo was released of the king seen at the desk in Buckingham Palace with that famous red box containing documents that needed his attention. The king is seen in his first days of work as monarch on September 11th, which was just a few days after the queen's death on September 8th. Of course, the red box is the daily dispatch of papers from the minister around the UK and the realms like Canada and Australia, of which Charles is also king. We know that this was something that, you know, Queen Elizabeth tended to, I think, every day except for Christmas.
Yes, it's this famous black box. I think there's been so many, we've seen it in so many movies. I know it was in The Crown and things like that, where they take it and then they flip it upside down because, you know, the staff usually hides things at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this. I wonder if now the staff hides things at the top, anticipating that they'll just flip it over again. But yes, he's back to work. I think it is one of those things that, you know, every single day they go through the papers, they check in on the correspondence. And it's sort of, even on weekends, even during holidays, it's just their way of sort of checking in on the Commonwealth. So while it is a little bit surprising that Charles would go back to work so quickly, I really wanted him to rest and mourn and take some private time. I'm not surprised that he's already taking on this daily responsibility, just of finding out what's going on in the Commonwealth. You know, even just in the few days after the Queen's death, he had so many phone calls and meetings and, you know, correspondence with leaders from all over the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. I think it's been so important for him to just establish those relationships early on, you know, right away, to, you know, reintroduce himself, because obviously he's met all these people, but just to, you know, keep those relationships strong.
Definitely. And I love in the photo behind him is a photo of his parents, a black and white photo. So it's nice that, you know, always kind of looking over his shoulder. I think that's great.
I know that I love these photos. They're always staged very, very carefully, because there's also this big sort of crusty tome of Shakespeare's complete works on the desk with him. Mm-hmm. It's just little things like that that make that sort of, you know, they put that there on purpose, like the photo, and, you know, they're thinking things through.
Definitely. It's always great to find those little Easter eggs in the background of the photos. Well, Kate Middleton and Prince William stepped out to show their support to the volunteers of operation and operational staff who were involved in the committal service for the Queen at St. George's Chapel in Windsor. They also supported the crowds that gathered to pay tribute to the Queen after her death on September 8th. So take a look at this.
We should be so proud, honestly, because of so many people being involved. But it was extraordinary from the family's perspective, but also from members of the public. Everyone was saying, you know, when we did the walkabout, just saying how special it was to be part of it, how easy it was to get around. We saw the different car parking logistics. I couldn't believe how far people were walking, having parked their cars, and it was quite some distance. But it's amazing.
Thank you very much. This was so interesting to me because I think it was Prince William who said that the Queen passing away at Balmoral, this was the plan that they didn't really plan for the most. So this was a little bit unexpected.
Yeah, there were these little sound bites from this visit. I think it was a really personal visit. You know, William and Kate were sort of not that they were off guard, but they were sort of really honest. You know, there was those little quotes. William said that they saw those five rainbows up at Balmoral. And he says that we never see rainbows, but then there was five of them. And these really sweet, you know, little tidbits that they shared at this event. I thought it must have been so great for like the operational staff. I think it was a bit of a surprise. You could see the crowds of people just looked absolutely shocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. No, and you know, they've been busy. They've visited Wales for the first time as the Princess and Princess of Wales. So it was nice to see them step out and, you know, visit Wales for the very first time because they lived there as newlyweds going back in the day.
Yes, I know. So they've made their first official visit to Wales as the Prince and Princess of Wales. And they started their visit at Anglesey, which is sort of this really little coastal town, part of, you know, Prince William's military service. He was stationed there for a few years. And it's been so special to them. One of their first royal engagements ever was up at Anglesey at the RAF base up there. And then today, one of their first engagements as the Prince and Princess of Wales is right back in the same spot. Mm-hmm. So it's been, you know, clearly it's really important to them. And we see those sort of, you know, circles and patterns. They're reminding us of those past events. And then they met with, you know, representatives from the region. They met with the cutest little schoolboy. I don't know if you saw those photos popping up, but it's nice to see them hit the ground running. And, you know, the Prince and Princess of Wales title, it is sort of ceremonial, but it is actually really important to the royal family to have a close bond with Wales. So it's exciting to see them, you know, hit the ground running.
Definitely. Well, mark your calendars because The Crown is set to return to Netflix on November 5th for its fifth season. I am ready for this. I am excited. I know it's, you know, drama, a little bit exaggerated, but I'm ready for it. I think Dominic West looks like he's going to be a great Prince Charles at the time. But yeah, it seems like this is going to be the entire unraveling of the marriage between Prince Charles and Princess Diana.
I think that like the Buckingham Palace press office is sweating. Like yeah. They are stressed. But I did see something really interesting. I remember when Dominic West was cast and even he said, I don't look anything like him. And I saw a really interesting commentary saying that perhaps that was done on purpose. So we do sort of differentiate the character from the man in a sense. And I thought that was an interesting concept because so much of this is fictionalized. I think this next season is where we're really going to see the most fiction, you know, coming out. It'll be so interesting to see, but I just know that everyone at the palace is just like stressing.
Oh, sure. They are sweating. It's going to be interesting. All right. Well, it is time to spill the royal tea and a new bombshell book. I feel like every few months I'm like bombshell book. But this one is said to be released by Valentine Lowe, who is a royal correspondent for the Times. So this book is called Courtiers, The Hidden Power Behind the Crown. So Valentine Lowe was the first man to report on the allegations of bullying against the Duchess of Sussex from her time as a working royal. And he offered up a gripping account in a series of extracts published in the Times. A lot of interesting tidbits, some things that definitely raised some eyebrows. So what were some of those things for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, Valentine Lowe has been a royal correspondent for so long, but he really flies under the radar, I think. And he's really well respected. Yeah. And so when these journalists that are really well respected sort of come out with these books, it really makes you question, you know, what is true and what is hearsay and things like that. I was most surprised by how many airtight sources he seemed to have. There were lots of names, lots of, you know, people quoted, things like that. That always really surprises me because a lot of palace staff, they sign NDAs or they don't speak out of respect to, you know, the role that they undertook. So for them to speak out is really very surprising, I think.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah.
But I think just so many of the stories were things, rumors that we had heard or sort of stories that came out, but we didn't hear too much about them ever again. And so it's just interesting to see them all, you know, compiled together in this book, airtight sources, you know, a really, really good journalist. It'll be really interesting to see this coming out again. I do find the bullying allegations, I've always found that story very interesting. There's so many people who say that it's a cultural difference mm-hmm. between British work culture and American culture. I think so many of us can sort of not necessarily relate to that, but sort of see where those cultural differences might lie. Mm-hmm. And I found that just really interesting to follow that story.
Right, definitely. I mean, he opened up, you know, more about that strained relationship that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex had with their staff. Even the staff later allegedly referred to themselves as the Sussex Survivors Club, and that they reportedly felt played by the pair, and that they would keep their plans so tightly under wraps that their nanny wouldn't even know where they're going until they were up in the air on their private plane. That information was definitely interesting. Also, Prince Harry saying that he was unhappy within the royal family via email, and he tried to tell the Queen in person and he was denied. The book states that the message was conveyed to him that the Queen had been confused about her diary and was no longer available. Harry was incensed because it was not true. The courtiers had gotten in the way, it seems, because they saw the meeting with the Queen as an attempt to pick the Queen off before Harry started talks with the rest of the family. This all happened around Christmas time of 2019, and Valentine Lowe writes that Harry thought about even going to Sandringham and, you know, confronting the Queen in person. Obviously, that didn't happen, but it seems like things definitely got testy behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think this is another story that I think we once heard, but then never heard more about, where Harry tried to speak to the Queen, but was intervened. And this is another story where it's coming back. We're hearing more details, you know, that he's tried to schedule this. They've said, you know, he's been told no, you know, she's not available anymore. So it'll be interesting to see these stories sort of in this book in print expanded on with as many details as Valentine Lowe, you know, has. And I actually think from the excerpts, I actually think there's been so many books lately that are really all about how terrible Meghan and Harry are. From the excerpts I saw, I think that this is doing a good job of sort of showing flaws, you know, across the board, where staff was unfair in certain situations and you know, is doing a decent job of being balanced, which I think is better journalism.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he alleges that the Queen, you know, vetoed the idea that the couple be part-time. They wanted to be, you know, half in, half out. And the Queen said, no, that's not really how it works. So it didn't really seem like there was any compromise in this, but I think you make a good point. It does seem like he kind of balances out both sides. So it's definitely going to be an interesting read. Speaking of another book, Catherine Meyer, whose book Charles, the Heart of a King, has that has recently been updated. And she wrote of the King's support since his mother's death, saying, I know him well enough to know he'd be surprised by that. He always expects to be the one who disappoints, but the excitement has lifted him. I'm sure that definitely has, you know, seeing so many people reach out to him, you know, even when he was greeting mourners in the street, they were all singing God Save the King to him. So I'm sure that pretty, you know, uplifted his spirits in a pretty dark time.
I know every time you see them, every time you see some, you know, God Save the King being sung, he just looks like he's on the edge of tears. Mm. I really think he thought this day would never come, you know, and now it's so moving for him. But like she says, like, I think he kind of expected to be disappointed. He expected to disappoint everybody, but actually I think everyone's hugely supportive.
Right. And I mean, she even said that, you know, even, you know, that now famous pen incident where he was getting so mad that the pen wasn't working. She wrote that it was the young who liked his pen incident, as they saw that as humanizing and authentic. Yet the older people were complaining because it wasn't what the queen would have done. Yes, probably was the queen definitely probably wouldn't have done that. But, you know, we have a new king now and, you know, he got a little frustrated. I thought it was funny.
I know. I think, yeah, I thought it was very so relatable. And then later on, you saw someone in the crowd bought a little Bic ballpoint pen and gave it to him on the walkabout and said, just in case. I thought it was, again, it was so humanizing. We all really connected with him in that way. But honestly, the queen's had little blips, you know, like where she can't cut the cake and she's saying, you know, get that. If, you know, there's been moments like that. I think that hindsight, you know, we remember her as sort of inhuman, almost superhuman, but actually there were very human moments.
Definitely. All right. Well, let's, so what did the next couple of weeks look like for King Charles? To help us break that all down is royal historian Gareth Russell. Take a look. Obviously the queen is laid to rest, but what's next for King Charles? What do the next couple of weeks look like for him?
I think we do know that he's hopefully going to have a few days in Scotland, mm-hmm. To obviously clear up, you know, many of his mother's effects and things there, and to talk to the staff and thank them for everything they did, because there really wasn't any time, mm-hmm. to thank the staff at Balmoral for their extraordinary work, you know, and their care for Elizabeth II during the final weeks and months of her life, because obviously she spent the last significant segment there. So there will be a time for him to go north to Balmoral to thank the people who work there, to thank the local community for their support for the Queen, and also I hope to have some personal time to grieve. But if that window is allowed to him, it's going to be a small window. He will be expected back in London. There are fairly substantial concerns facing the country. Obviously, it has to be said that that is the purview of the democratically elected government led by Prime Minister Liz Truss. However, under the British constitutional setup, it is the monarch's role to advise, guide, and warn the government of the day. And this government might need quite a bit of that, because we are facing a substantial cost of living crisis. The Prime Minister already today made a comment about energy bills that have angered people when she suggested that higher energy bills were a price people should just pay, mm-hmm. for the sake of national security, which struck some people as fairly tone deaf. And that's not the first time someone in her party has said that. So in many ways, the King will have a not insignificant amount of political work ahead of him with a small p, but he will be back to, I think, in London quite soon to advise, guide, and warn Prime Minister Liz Truss. I think he also is hoping to spend some time with his family. I mean, he has seen obviously a lot of them, but grief is a time when you do need to see people. He has made it very clear that he trusts Prince William and Princess Catherine implicitly. So I expect we'll see some time spent with them. I would also say that I do think the King very much wants to heal the rift with Harry and Meghan. We saw that olive branch held out in the first national address. So maybe we will see attempts to coordinate more regular visits between Harry and Meghan and back to Britain. And also, of course, this will be, I think sometimes people forget, there was the pandemic and there were travel restrictions during the first stage of the Sussex's stay in the United States. So we'll see, maybe there will be more frequent visits back. I think that is something the King very much wants to happen.
Definitely going to be a busy next few weeks for the King. But like you said before at the top, you hope he takes some time to kind of not relax a little bit, but take that time to properly mourn and, you know, get into the right headspace before he dives back into work. But but a lot of things are changing all around him at all times. So in our royal history moment of the week, Queen Elizabeth's title has changed. Pre-funeral, she was Her Majesty the Queen. Now she is officially referred to as Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. The in a title indicates current title holder. So know the means former title holder, former spouse of title holder, etc. So the palace shifted this description on social media as seen in a tweet about Princess Anne's visit to thanks servicemen who helped stage the Queen's funeral earlier this week. It read, in Portsmouth and Aldershot, the Princess Royal today met service personnel and thanked them for the role they played in Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth's funeral. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's all happening. All these changes are being made. And King Charles has a new cipher as well. So these changes are going to be rolling out within the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You only notice it in England, but almost everything has the royal cipher on it. Mm-hmm. Mailboxes and buildings, money has, you know, the royal's photo printed on it. They've said that we really won't see changes, like even stamps. We won't see new ciphers and new portraits for probably at least a year or two. I saw about 2 years before we start seeing them on money. So it is a slow change, which I think we need some time to get used to this.
Definitely. All right, well, moving on to our pint-sized palace, and Princess Kate revealed what it was like for her kids to see the preparation for Queen Elizabeth's funeral. She told volunteers, when we've been doing the school run, we've been able to see the preparations going up. We've seen it growing. She said that her three kids were particularly beady-eyed about the security drones flying over Windsor before the big event and asked their parents about them. Yeah, I mean, they're still young, so this is probably a lot going on for them. And, you know, seeing drones up in the sky is probably pretty cool for a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
Kids love stuff like that, right? Drones, helicopters, airplanes, anything flying up in the sky is very interesting. But it must have been so good for the kids to go to school. You know, Kate and William, it was really important to them that they were still doing the school run every day, because it must be such a strange time for them.
Such a strange time. It really is. Like we said, a lot of changes happening over the next few weeks, months, years. And we're going to be here recapping it all. Christine, thank you so much for running down all things royals with me, as always.
Thank you. So many emotional changes, but it's nice to go through them.
Definitely. And we love, of course, to hear from you guys. So keep commenting, keep subscribing, and we'll see you guys next week.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.